understand, and you're God when we think we understand. Lord, you're still God. And so, Lord, this morning we worship you. Lord, this morning we declare that you're a good God, that you're a good, good Father to us. And so we exalt your holy name. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming to work among us as humankind. And we worship you. We honor you. We exalt you this morning, Lord God. And Lord, we say, continue to have your own way in our lives. Continue to have your own way in our families. Continue to have your own way in this nation. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we pray and we ask this morning for a fresh move of your Spirit, O God. We ask, O God, for a mighty outpouring of your Spirit, for a revival, oh God, will impact this nation from the White House to the man on the street, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we long for more. Lord, we want more. Lord, we're not satisfied where we're at. And so, Lord, we ask your God to show us your glory. We ask your God to take us, oh God, from our little place where we're at into a bigger place spiritually, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Increase our hunger, increase our thirst for you, the true and living Lord, and help us, oh God, to keep our eyes fixed upon the author and the perfecter of our faith, in the mighty name of Jesus. Have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. And amen. You may be seated this morning. Amen. We have been sharing for a while, talking about the words from the cross. While Jesus was on the cross, he spoke 7 words according to our scriptures. This morning, I want to deal with the 5th word, which is found in John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 28. And this is from the NIV. It says, later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it up to Jesus' lips. So this word is a simple word, I am thirsty. The King James just says, I thirst. Simple words, but I believe these words reveal something that we all know about Jesus. I believe it points to his humanity. It points to the fact that he was human. He had been beaten. His flesh had been torn from his body. They put a crown of thorns on his head. He had bled for a while. He had become dehydrated. And there on the cross, he cried out, I thirst. One of the things that John, the writer of the gospel, John tries to show his readers is that Jesus was both God and man. And so he starts out his gospel by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with, and the Word was God. And that nothing came into existence apart from the Word. That Word, it is through the Word that creation came into existence. And then he goes on further in John's gospel, verse 14 of chapter 1, to say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so this Word, this Word of God, this God in Christ Jesus came and became flesh. And here on the cross we see the humanity of Christ coming forth as he cries out, I thirst. And I think it's important for us to always remember that Christ was human. I've heard people say, I'm only human. Have you ever heard that? I'm only human. Well, oftentimes they say it as an excuse for not living up to what the Lord expects them to do. So they lose their temper and they say the wrong thing and they like an excuse. Well, I'm only human. Well, I have news for us. He was human. And so humanity is not measured by the fact that We don't live the way God wants us to live. There are other things that God looks at to say, yes, you are human. You have physical needs. You have the need for food. You have the need for drink. Jesus was thirsty. So he was human. But sinning is not an excuse for being human. Because Jesus lived a sinless life as a human, showing us a pattern for how we ought to live. And so the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, "For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." And so Christ lived as a human, had all the same needs that we have as humans, all the same feelings that we have as humans. He had the feelings of rejection. His 12 disciples rejected him. Only John stood there at the foot of the cross. You understand what it was to be despised and rejected according to Isaiah 53. It says he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's what it means to be human, to have feelings. I'm only human. So if I lose a loved one, I'll grieve. Because why? I'm only human. So it's not an excuse for me to sin. It's an excuse for me to understand. Not an excuse. It's a reason for me to understand. I have emotions. I have physical needs. I need to take care of my body. That's what it means to say, I'm human. And so Christ was human. The Bible tells us that he became hungry. According to Luke, after he had fasted for 40 days, he became hungry because he's human. And that's why the devil could come to him and tempt him, saying, "Why don't you turn these stones into bread?" Because he's human. This was an important fact in the first century because there were certain beliefs around in that time that caused people to think that Christ wasn't really human. He was only appearing to be human. He was a phantasm. And John wants his readers to say, no. He was human. He had to be human to go to the cross so that you and I can have a relationship with the Father. So he wasn't some phantasm. He wasn't an hologram. He was indeed human. It was God becoming flesh. The Bible says that Jesus wept. Why? Because he's human. I want us to pause a little bit at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to read from verse 37. I really want to get down to verse 41, where it says Jesus wept over Jerusalem, showing Jesus weeping as a man over Jerusalem. But I want us to see a little bit more, because as I was preparing this, it really dawned on me that today is the day that the church celebrates Palm Sunday. The day when Christ rode into Jerusalem. And so verse 37 of Luke 19 says, "And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen." They had seen the power of God. And so the disciples, the crowd of the disciples, were worshiping God and magnifying his name, and also were the children. Verse 38, it says, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Verse 40, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. He wept over it as a man, realizing the condition, realizing something else. Verse 42. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side." And so Christ, understanding what was to come, was weeping over Jerusalem. If only I understood what was happening now. Verse 44. "They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." I thought my wife was going to share this message this morning. The King James Version and New American Standard Version says, "Because he did not recognize the time of God's visitation." And what Jesus was here weeping was because here it was the Pharisees. He was in their midst. And God was working through him, and miracles are being done, and the disciples were rejoicing, the children were rejoicing, and they were trying to say, "Keep quiet." They did not understand it was a move of God. They didn't understand the power of God was being at work right there in their very midst. They missed it. They missed the time of God's visitation. And because of that, Jesus was weeping because judgment was going to come upon them. God was going to cause the enemies to surround them. God was going to call the enemies to come over the walls and to destroy them. And this word was fulfilled in AD 70. The war started in AD 66. And the temple was destroyed in AD 70 because they did not recognize the time of God's visitation. They didn't recognize God being at work in their midst. One of the things Sister Glazier tried to help us to see last week is that there's a shifting of the times. She shared 7 important things we need to do to prepare for the changing times. The people of God should be able to put their ear to the Spirit and sense the shifting of the times. That times are changing. Something is about to happen. God is already at work in our midst. I mean, Kenny just got healed this morning. Healing's taking place every week. There was a time in the church when you pray and you pray and you pray and nobody gets healed. But now we are seeing healings taking place. And I believe there's an increase. But yet still many are wondering what is happening. They don't realize that God is working. And God is preparing our people for the changing times. She shared some other things with me which it's not the time yet for me to share them. Because as she was saying that when you're a child, you have a little tantrum when things don't go your way. And many times the church finds itself in a tantrum because things are not going its way. Rather than stepping back and saying, Father, what are you doing? How do you want us to respond in these times? The times, as they say, they are changing. Things are about to come upon this nation. But I also believe that God is doing something in this church. And that there's an outpouring that has already started. And it's going to increase. And so as that word came this morning, prepare your heart to flow. Prepare your heart to receive from God. Listen. You know, even animals, when the temperature and things are about to change, they know. How many know that? The chickens, they know when things are about to happen. Some of you that have your metal in your bodies, you can tell me when the weather is about to change. Yeah. You feel it. So what about us who are spiritual? We should be able to sense when things are about to happen. Christ is about to go to the cross. To usher in a new era, a new time. And they didn't understand. They didn't realize what was happening. The times, they are changing. So turn your ear to the Spirit and listen. Step back from things that are happening around you and say, Lord, what's happening? Let me see things from your perspective. And you realize that the times are changing. It has already changed in our society in the natural. Oh, Lord, help us. Anyway, I need to go on. So Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they didn't understand. They missed the time of God's visitation. He was weeping as a man. Hebrews says he cried aloud with loud prayers and tears unto the Father. So he shed tears to show us that he was human. He didn't want to go through all the suffering of the cross as a man. But he said there in the garden of the Gethsemane, he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It's human sometimes when you see the task ahead to say, Lord, help me. It's human to be able to say, I can do all things through Christ. Lord, by myself, I can't do it, but I know that you are here to help me through it. It says that Jesus slept. It's human to get tired. At the end of the day, you know, Becca, when the kids are coming to you, it's human to say, I'm only human, I'm tired. I've been up from 6. I need to rest. It's only human. And so Jesus got tired and says he was in the boat sleeping when his disciples were out there panicking because of the storm. That's what it means to be human. We have certain limitations. It was human. He sweated. It says here in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweated as he cried out to the Father. He was limited. He could only be at one place at a time. And so when they sent for him, when Mary and Martha sent for him and says, Lord, your friend Lazarus is sick. He stayed there for 2 more days. He couldn't be in 2 places at the same time. It's human. It says human mothers, when the kids are bothering to say, I can only do so much at a time. I can't take care of this one and that. I can only do so much. I'm only human. I only have 2 hands and 2 feet. That's what it means to be human. But it's not an excuse for us to sin. And so the disciples all testified concerning the fact that he became flesh. In 1 John, the disciple says that we looked upon him, we touched him, we interacted with him, so we know he was human. John went on to say, anyone who denies that Christ has come in the flesh, that's the spirit of the Antichrist. He lived as a human, in total dependence upon the Father. Minister by the Spirit. Hebrews 4 and verse 14 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. So temptation is human. But we don't have to sin. Christ was tempted. He was hungry. But he didn't sin. And so being tempted is human. But we have the power of God. We have a way made, it says in Corinthians, a way of escape. So he was human. And that becomes significant for us. We all know the reasons why you have to be human. Because you had to be human to pay the price for your sin and for my sin. You had to live a sinless life so that my sin would be taken care of on the cross. He had to be human. If he was anything more than human, I'd still be in trouble. He had to live and die on the cross as a human being. But I like this one, Hebrews 2 and verse 14. It says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. He had to be human to defeat the enemy. He had to be human. An angel couldn't do it. It had to be a human who could defeat the works of darkness, defeat the enemy himself. In 1 John 3, he says, for this purpose was the Son of God made manifest to destroy the works of the evil one. You see, because he defeated the enemy as a human, that's the reason why you and I can now have authority over the enemy as humans. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. Right here and now, you and I can live in authority over the works of darkness because Jesus Christ defeated him as a human. So put here, you have to be human to regain authority from Satan. Because when Adam sinned in the garden, Adam handed over the authority that God gave him to rule on the earth. And that's why when Christ was being tempted, the devil says, look at all these kingdoms. I can give them to you. Christ didn't argue with him. Because Christ realized that he is called the prince of the power of the air. Jesus said in John that the prince, the ruler of this world, comes and he finds nothing in me. And so because of Adam's sin, Satan usurped authority and took authority over the earth. But Jesus Christ defeated him on the cross. How many of you understand what I'm saying? That's why in Revelation, Jesus could say, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell. That's why in Matthew 28, it could say, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth.
That's right. Hallelujah.
And so he had to be human to defeat Satan. Had it been an angel, the devil would say, that's not fair. He had to be human. And so because of that, you and I have now been given authority. Jesus says what? Behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the evil one, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Why? Because I have defeated Satan. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, he said. And he went on to defeat him on the cross. So you and I can now live in victory. You and I have no excuse anymore because we have been given authority over all the works of darkness. So it's no longer an excuse to say Satan made me do it. No, because we have authority over him. You see, friends, the devil would not want us to understand the authority that we have. Because as long as we think that he has more authority than us, we will live a defeated life. But when you understand what God has done, and when you lay hold of that authority, the enemies of darkness, the enemies who don't like us, they flee. Romans chapter 5. This is what Paul says. But the gift is not like the trespass. This is verse 15. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? Because sin came into the world because of Adam, it had to be a man who would go there and pay the price for us so that we can now experience God's grace. Verse 16 of Romans 5. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. Verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through who? Through the one man, Jesus Christ. And so because Jesus Christ is a man, paid the price, you and I can reign in righteousness in this life. And so we can say, I'm only human, and therefore I can live in righteousness. Not some excuse for sin, but rather a reason to live in victory. Why? Because the one man, Jesus Christ, overcame sin and defeated the enemy, and has now set us free from the law of sin and death. And so you and I, as human beings, can now live the life of righteousness. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are now slaves to righteousness. Yes, I know what you're thinking. Yes, we do sin. But we're no longer slaves to sin. We are now slaves to righteousness because of the one man, Jesus Christ. And so it's important for us to grasp that reality. It was a man on the cross. It was a man crying out, I thirst. He realized all was finished and he cried out, I thirst. Because I'm human. Verse 19 of Romans 5. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. It had to be a man. He had to lay aside all of his glory. He had to take up the form of a man and live as a man in total dependence upon the Spirit of God. He has to experience all of that suffering, all of that ridicule, all of that beating for you and me, so that you and I can now live in righteousness. So friends, Christ is our standard of what it means to be human. Christ is our standard. Don't look at your neighbor and use your neighbor as your standard. Don't look at the pastor. Don't look at some person you put on a pedestal and see them as your standard. Jesus Christ, living as a man, is our standard of what it means to be human. He understands all of our griefs and all of our pains. He was there. He understands what it means to be rejected by people. He was there. He understands what it means to be despised and to be ridiculed. He was there. He's acquainted, I put here, with all of our fears and anxieties. And so we can look to him and he will enable us by the Spirit of God to live a life of victory. And that's why we can say we're no longer slaves to fear. Because Jesus Christ has set us free. We can now live lives of righteousness. Verse 18 of Romans 6 says, you have been set free from sin and become slaves to righteousness. All because of Jesus Christ. He will help us when we get tempted, because he wasn't tempted in all points just as we are. It's human to be tempted, so don't beat yourself over the head. What you need to do is to lay hold of the grace of God, lay hold of the Spirit of God, and say no to the temptation. And so you understand what it is like to be tempted. You understand what it's like to be depressed and distressed. But we can cry out to him, and he by his Spirit will strengthen us and help us to live this life and to keep on pressing on. Jesus says in Matthew 12 and verse 28, when he was being criticized by the Pharisees and scribes, and he went on to say, if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out spirits, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And by that verse, what Christ is trying to help us to see is that it's by the Spirit of God that we walk in victory. It's by the Spirit of God that you and I can pray and see people set free. It's by the Spirit of God that you and I can pray and see healing be released into the lives of people, all because of what Jesus Christ has done. And that's why he said in John 14, I like that verse. Theologians are trying to explain it away. John 14, verse 11. He says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, which in the Greek that really means verily, verily. It's amen, amen being repeated. It's like, listen up. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. And so verse 12 says, greater works than these shall he do. Anyone who believes in him. Not just the 12. He didn't say, well, the 12 who believe in me, they shall do it. He says, anyone who believes in me shall do greater works. And we are trying to explain it away rather than pressing in and say, Father, we need to see the greater works. Father, we need to see a greater outpouring of your Spirit. It's your promise. It's your word. You said us as humans, we could do it. You said as humans, these signs would follow those who believe. All because of Jesus. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back as we get prepared for to close off, or somebody, Joyce, somebody. Jesus is the one who shows us a secret of successful living. Luke in his writing says concerning Christ, when Peter was preaching to Cornelius, he says, remember Jesus of Nazareth, oh God, anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the enemy. And what Peter was there saying is that Jesus was anointed as a man and went about healing and went about setting people free and went about doing good. And you and I are also to be anointed as human beings to go forth and to set people free. In other words, the work on the cross is more than just the forgiveness of sins. It's for us to go forth and set people free. It's for us to go forth and cause people to see that the kingdom of God is here.
Amen.
Friends, if it was just forgiveness of sins, you didn't have to be beaten. You could just go on the cross as a sinless man and die. But he was beaten. Why? Because by his stripes we are healed. He was rejected so that we can be accepted. So all those things show us other aspects of our salvation. It's more than just forgiveness of sins. It's a complete package. That's why Paul says in Romans 8, if he gave us Christ, won't he with Christ give us all things freely? And so friends, you and I have been called to be as Christ was in the world, as a man. To function under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. To share the love of God, to share the grace of God, to share the power of God with those with whom we come in contact with. And not to give ourselves some excuses for being disobedient to the Father. But rather to realize that because of the work of Christ, you and I can now be slaves of righteousness. we can rule and reign in this life. All because Jesus Christ died on the cross as a man. Let us stand. And so I'm hoping this morning, we better appreciate what it means to be humans. We are humans because God has chosen to anoint human beings to go into the world with the gospel. He didn't send forth the animals. He didn't send forth angels. He sent forth you and I to go forth with the gospel, because Christ, as a human being, has taken back all authority from the works of darkness. And so he sends forth you and I with authority upon over all the powers of darkness, with authority to rule and reign in this life, with authority to release the healing power of God into the lives of people, with authority to see change come about in circumstances. It's an exciting day. It's an exciting day as change comes upon our nation. I believe the people of God will stand tall. I believe the anointing of God will flow more mightily than ever before. I believe more miracles will occur because what? There's a people who understand who they are. Let's just bow our heads this morning. There may be somebody in this house. Are you saying, Joe Campbell, I have backslidden? Or perhaps you never know Christ at all. And you're saying, Joe Campbell, I want to give my life to Christ this morning. Or this morning I want to recommit myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask us to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody in this house that need to recommit themselves to Christ this morning?